Hi, this is Joel Richardson, founder of Soul Joel Productions. I want to thank you for watching this and all of our content on Soul Joel TV. Just keep it in mind, every time you see this logo, that's our stamp of approval to know that it's quality content. So thank you for watching this, and now enjoy the show.
Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadano. With me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
Buddy. You know,
we started early. We're going at 7 now.
Yeah.
And the only thing good about that is that people may be getting on a little late and they don't have to sit through that Joel thing.
You in that video, I swear to God, that's going to be.
I always forget it till it starts. And then I go, my God, like, wow. You know what it is? I'm a warm-up comic. That's our warm-up. This is our warm-up.
I think we need to get Joey to put a little graphic, the more you know. Do, 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 do. Doesn't it feel like a little after-schooly?
The more you know. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I had a big weekend.
What'd you do?
Great big weekend. It was Axel's birthday. He shares a birthday with our producer, Joel.
Yes, it was a long birthday weekend for me, too. So
you have a birthday as
my,
well?
My friend Christiane, who is maybe listening. I'm not sure. Happy birthday, Christiane. It was her birthday yesterday. It was your son's birthday. It was Joel's birthday. And I had to do – let's get Joel out before we talk about
that. Yeah, bring him out.
Joel, you there?
What up, guys?
There he is.
Happy birthday.
It was awesome, man. I mean, my girlfriend was amazing, making as good as you can for my 40th birthday and milestone. I thought I was going on a Zoom call with her family, right, and ended up being all you guys,
which is what I want to talk about. I don't like these. I don't like them. I did two yesterday, Joel. I don't like them. I'll tell you why, because you're on with everybody else.
Right.
So when you're at a party, you hang with the people you know. You can joke, make fun of people. But on these Zoom bullshit things, everybody hears what you have to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, I heard before I got on, my mom was talking to her sister. Hey, Sue. Hey. like there's not 30 other people on the call.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get that rash cleared up?
Yeah. And that's why I was like doing that on the Christian. Stop doing that, Joel. It really is bothering me.
Okay. I'll go backstage.
No, you know, like it just drives me crazy because I'm making fun of my buddy Barney on the one last night, and the rest of the people are going, I'm like, you don't fucking know me. You don't know me. You don't know mine and Bonnie's relationship, though. You know what I mean? Like, but I realized in a real party, I wouldn't be hanging with these people. I'd be
right.
Hang with these people.
You'd be in another room or outside versus inside. They wouldn't even have heard that.
Right. I don't need it.
Dude.
I don't like it.
So I don't know if you saw, but I woke up to 40 of this fat face on sticks. my girlfriend made lawn signs outside.
No, Joel, they bloomed up from the ground. She didn't.
you plant a couple Joel seeds.
It's not spring till the Joels bloom.
Hey, I think the crowd's nice and warmed up. Back to you guys. Thanks for having me.
You know what I like about him? Which he learned Friday night when we had the comedy show for his birthday.
Yeah, we did a birthday show for him.
He knows that he really sucks at this. He gets himself on and off as quickly as he can.
I really, really enjoyed doing that show.
Yeah, I did too, once I got rid of Joel. You were great, bro. You were killing it.
That was so much fun. Of course, well, it was easy doing it with you. So I just got the sneak material in, which made me laugh because I'm sitting there going, Richie knows this bit. He's probably going to bust my balls any second.
No, I wasn't going to do that.
But it was a lot of fun. But I got to tell you, it was crazy from a different perspective. From my son, he's turning six, and we didn't know what to do, right? Because all he wanted for his birthday was to see his grandparents, because he hasn't seen them in so long. So you have this heartbreak of like, what are we going to do? But the Wissahickon Fire Department in the town we live in put a parade together with my wife, and they drove by the house with the fire engines going.
Oh, that's nice.
They had my in-laws were in the car behind them, and then Angie's sister, so my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, were in a car behind them, and it was like a whole parade of family members
driving by
with signs, and you saw him light up. But then as soon as they passed, you saw him get really sad because he knew
they were
going to get to hang with my grandparents.
That was it.
So it was really hard, you know, because they COVID. Kind of understand what's happening.
It's the COVID parade, buddy.
There would be, see now, if Richie, if we had you on the porch and Joel drove by, it would be the same reaction. You'd get... But
done that. So... We got a great show today.
We have a really good show.
It's Corona Monday.
It's Corona Monday.
And the fourth is with us.
It is. Oh, but before we get to our guest, we have a shameless promotion.
Yes, we have a shameless promotion.
Shameless promotions.
And you had nothing to do with this.
I just was told in our private chat that we had a shameless promotion.
Yeah, that's all you know about.
I'm just, you know, reading what I was told to do. I'm like Ron Burgundy. Put it on the prompter. I'll read it.
Well, let's roll it. Let's see what we got.
Some people have a deep, abiding respect for good comedy albums, and some don't. Bring Mark Riccadonna into your homes and into your hearts. Available now on iTunes.
I remember that commercial as a kid, but I remembered it differently.
No, that's exactly how it went.
No, I didn't.
No, that's exactly how. Do you remember that commercial, really? Are you old enough for that commercial? No.
I was 81 born.
Every time I see that, it makes me depressed because I used to be getting ready for school every morning and that commercial would come on. So in my mind, to this day, I still think I got to go to school.
Which is still crazy because you still, even on that school bus, would throw your trash out the window.
Yes. But not your album, which hadn't been made yet, but not your album.
So I haven't even been made yet.
Yes. That's a shameless promotion.
Shameless promotions.
Thank you, Joey.
Joey's all right, too so good to us.
We have two guests today.
We got two great guests.
We're going to talk about how this pandemic has been hard on charities and on
festivals.
And our first guest is a good friend of yours, a good buddy of mine too, but you want to bring him out? He's your friend. Yeah,
very funny guy, originally from the Philly area. Met him when he was working out of Atlanta, and now he's in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Albanese.
Mike Albanese! Woo! Someone with bigger hair than mine.
How many times does Joel Richardson have to say my girlfriend, for Christ's sake?
Oh my God, I know.
Nobody believes you, and we get it, Joel. Knock it off. What show in their right mind would put their manager slash a one-nighter comedy club owner on the top of the show? That man belongs in the shadows and in the background. That bit is canceled. I'm canceling it right now.
It's funny. It's like you were in the meeting before the show.
That's what everyone was thinking. I love you, Joel.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Hanging in there.
I haven't seen you in so long, even without Corona.
Pre-Corona, it's been too long.
Yeah.
We worked together on The Boom, the three of us.
Big. I was just cruising around Manhattan the other night, two nights ago. Just, it's dead. I bought a car, me and my girl. It's unbelievable. It's like
I've been wanting to do that. I've been meaning to.
You got to do it. It's insane. Yeah. I live in Astoria, and it took us 20 minutes to like get all the way from Astoria and back to the bridge to come home.
Wow, it's
crazy.
That's
but we awesome. We drove by that theater and then the East Village pizza shop where I
used okay. to
and I was like, I haven't been down here in so long. And I was thinking about you guys.
Yeah.
So, Mike, the main thing we want to talk about is the future of festivals. But also let's celebrate Mike Albanese a little bit. I see you're wearing the Pizza Tour shirt.
Yes.
I love that. Hey, Richie, you ever need to find a good slice of pizza, you go to Mike Albanese. This guy does pizza tours.
My good friend Scott Wiener, he owns Scott's Pizza Tours, and I work for him.
It's legitimate, like a tour? You go and they take it?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. And me and my buddy Alexis Guerrero, it's another great comedian, we run another tour group called Fat Venture, where it's a legitimate tour company we set up. We're licensed and all that. We go... normal tours, you get like a bite of food. Scott's does a great job. They do like slices of pizza all over the city. You get like 3, 4, or 5, depending on what tour you're on. But we do like full bites. So it's like, it's just for like fat people and people who want to eat a ton of food. We eat like big burgers and all kinds.
Can I sign up?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And can we just talk for a minute about shameless promotion? Because that's what that was.
Yeah,
asked him in shameless promotions.
It's dead anyway. Like there's it's over. The world's over.
Yeah,
there's no. I gotta ask. You were touring around. You were doing interviews for digital. What's the name of the group?
I do a bunch of like corporate comedy gigs, and one of them is this Digital Summit series. And they excuse me, little Rona. They have they tap me for like different, you know, whatever. I do comedy and I MC, but every now and again they'll have like a big,
Some of the big names. Who's some of the big names you brought?
The most recent one was Dennis Rodman, which was like crazy.
We have a clip.
We don't. Don't ever mind me. I'm giving y'all something to live by. It's amazing when you get judged as far as when you want to come out with some creativity in your business. It don't hurt to be creative. It doesn't hurt to be creative. Look at Steve Jobs. Look what he did before he died. Look what he did. He created pretty much the world with technology. Look at that guy. He was dying on his deathbed, and Apple asked him to come back before he died to create the future. Anyone know that he was dying, and they made him come back and create all these things, the technologies, the iPhones and stuff like that. He did that. That's what I'm going to do for the future for the youth of America.
Clip of me talking. Wow.
Well, I wanted to use that clip because I thought it was so cool that you have somebody in front of you describing what we do. You know, he's basically saying go out there and be creative. And I thought that was like pretty cool that to have a celebrity and somebody so flamboyant and out there telling you to keep going.
Well, it's interesting too, because his like it was a digital marketing event. And what was really cool about it is that the original Pistons Arena is converted into part of the Detroit Convention Center, but it's still the original building, the hall. It looks like the big, like, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, but it's not where he played. It's not.
No, but it was the original pit, which is still just a cool, like, historic ground.
Yeah.
But he was talking about, like, business and branding and marketing, and like that guy was huge before there was digital media and before there was, you know, and so he was like the original like influencer. He was like the original
he was the original one to go viral, but that was just STDs.
Well, and he broke his penis multiple times. You know what was really cool, what struck me really well, and well, I know
he stepped on it 3 times.
Yeah, I stepped on it twice. Once he was alone, like it was just the two of us hanging out for a pretty good amount of time, his guard was let down and he was like super engaging and interested. That guy, when he walked into the building, people were just like sprinting, trying to tackle this guy to get like, give me a picture, sign this, do this. It was pure insanity. Like the man cannot go anywhere. It was like, I don't even know how else to describe it. It was just insane. And so when I first met him, he thought I was just some guy like looking for an autograph. And I was like, hey, Mr. Robin. He's like, you know, he just was getting killed with this. And then I said, no, actually, I'm the MC. I'm a stand-up comedian. I just wanted to say what's up. And, you know, let's, you know, and then they pushed everyone away and we got to hang out. And then once he realized he didn't want anything from him, I wasn't after him for something. He was just like this, he took a breath and it was like, we were chatting, he was talking about comedy and it was so cool. And he had fingernail paint on. He had no cameras. He had there was no people following him, like a crew. He had like fingernail polish that was coming off. Like the guy just lives like that. Like I found such a level of respect for the guy. It wasn't for like some like weird fake show. Like that's just who he is. Like it was really cool to like to see the kind of the back side, the other side of that. And he was really cool to really.
How long was the interview?
He did about 15-20 minutes, which was just like the perfect amount of time. Got a couple cracks in, had some fun, and you know, I got that scrambled to get that video together because technically we weren't supposed to be filming that. That was like part of his thing, like his contract, I guess. But I like sneakily got a camera guy in there, and the audio is not great, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So but, like him. Chelsea Handler, which is
we have a clip really of Chelsea.
One. Hey, clips all day.
Clip before your name, you had a brand like that. What were the like? What was it like building an unknown brand? Like, or did you anticipate having this wild brand and very successful brand as you know coming up as a comedian and starting in that world?
No, I never anticipated being successful at anything. Really, I mean, I wanted to be successful, but I didn't really know how I was going to do it or how it was going to come about. I never was going to do a late night talk show. I was never going to do stand up comedy. All these things kind of fell into my lap as I was going through my life in my 20s in Los Angeles. I wanted to be, you know, known and seen, and I had opinions, and I wanted to say them out loud, and I found the best way to do that is to be on a stage with a microphone by yourself with no one interrupting you. So that's how I fell into stand-up.
Well, I want to apologize sadly, for all the questions that I'll be asking and interrupting. For the next couple.
I love that clip because it's exactly what we're going to do to you, interrupt you.
That's funny.
Well, it's funny that I'm glad everything just fell into her lap and her career is going. She said it just fell into my lap. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like my career. Rick and Donna fell into my lap.
Yeah, but at least it was face first. I had to get that opening work.
Am I delayed here? Did I get delayed or something? Because you guys both were staring at me like.
No, it just wasn't funny. Got him.
I was just waiting to deliver that line that it was face first, so I was trying to play it straight. Yeah. You got this cool thing going on. You're doing these corporate shows, you got all that going, and then this virus hits and everything's shutting down. Did you lose work?
Digital. In like a 48-hour period, I mean, if I told you the dollar figure, it's going to make my head explode. So, but I lost my entire calendar, and I got nothing now.
Well,
and
making fun of Joel was a good idea then. You're going to need that Friday night gig, my friend.
You're not wrong.
But then, like you would think, having being digital and that's their whole format, you think that they would have just brought that forward and said, well, we're still doing it. It's just going to be now on a digital platform instead of live conferences.
I think they've done one or two, but I don't like my job's not crucial to that. You know, like it's not necessary. It's just, they're just delivering content at that point. It's like people wouldn't need a break with a comedian when they're at home, you know what I mean? Like it's structured differently. I've done one for this other group in Boston. I was supposed to be there live and I did they like really pared it down to like an after hours. Hey, join the thing. And they had like 10,000 attendees and maybe like 90 showed up to the comedy like Zoom, which was still a fun time. I had a great, it was fun.
But did you do it like legitimate? Cause this is my question I've been having. Did you do it like a legitimate stand-up, or did you just sit like you're doing and just?
Oh yeah, it's sitting. It's sitting. Like there's
Mark's done a few of these, right,
yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, and I've been doing these corporate, but I'm brought in just to do stand-up. So I actually set up the camera and do stand-up, which is really brutal because you're not getting the feedback. But it's, you know, it's like opening for a band. You just realize it's a new animal.
I just feel like it's like, just like if you were live, you play to the audience. And the audience is all sitting in front of their computer staring at a screen. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and stare at my screen because it just doesn't feel natural. Just like if I was to sit down on stage live, that would just seem weird. I need to be out like Lucy, but the videos, it's like, it just feels weird. I've seen people do it standing up and it's just like, this just doesn't seem natural.
Yeah. Because Mike, the other night we did a show for Joel, for his birthday, we did a Friday night show, and Mark was on, and who else?
Missy Grinkowitz.
Missy, and anyway, I thought, well, I'll host it, and I'll talk to you guys. I'll feed you your bits. I'll feed you, and you come in with your act. And Joel said that a few people were like, well, I thought it was going to be more like stand-up. It was like, it was like stand-up. It was just, this is it now. This is...
I hope this is not the future of stand-up. Yeah. I've done a lot of these shows, and I'm not sure you're going to want to talk about it, but the festival that I run, we've been doing it through that to just kind of help comics make a couple bucks. But it peaked, and then now everyone's doing like free shows, and I don't even know what's going on. It's just so kind of up in the air. But
it's becoming a couple bucks, and the comedy boom. What happened at the comedy boom when everyone was just giving it away,
and it's 1990 now. It's 1992 and in the world of
oh boy, is comedy not going well. which is the next thing I wanted to bring up, is your festival. You have a really great festival, the Red Clay Comedy Festival. It's in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's you and Gilbert.
And me, Gilbert Lowand, and this other great comic named Jen O'Neill Smith. Very funny.
And you guys run a really fun festival. And last time we talked, you had a big sponsor pull out. You don't have to mention names or anything. We had a big sponsor pull out, and you're nervous about the future going on. I heard right before we went on that it still may happen, which is good news. But what's your take on what's going to happen with festivals and live events like a festival?
I think it'll all come back. It's just going to be a lot longer than any of us anticipate. You know, we're not, I'm seeing a slack in, like, we were never like a submission based festival until we lost so much money that it was either we do submissions or we just don't ever do it again. And so since we started doing them, like, we're so much lower in how many submissions we should have at this point. And they're so far in between. Like, sometimes it would be like 7-8 a day, and now it's like maybe one every 2 or 3 weeks. You know, which I understand. Like, it's money that comics aren't getting paid, and they're nervous that it's even going to happen. And notoriously, comedy festivals are like, I wouldn't name names, but they're kind of the scams a little bit, Pete. They're just taking money. They're not delivering on the promises. And so people are hesitant, especially with comedy festivals, to give 20, 30 bucks to.
We call it Soul Joel Comedy Fest.
That's the Staten Island Comedy Festival. oh, God, I love Joel. I hope he's taking this as a joke. No, never. Probably not. Not a chance.
We had Rich Voss on Friday. Trust me, he's a...
He's scratching my name off of his list with lipstick. But yeah, so it's like people are hesitant, and I understand that. We've told, and like if you go to our website, it's like if we have to cancel the festival because of COVID, everyone gets their money back. Like, we're not, all the money is sitting in an account. Like, we're not touching it or using it for anything. So it's
you're not buying toilet paper with it.
Say what?
When was the festival? What were the dates?
It's October 2nd and 3rd, and we're still on. We're still on. So at that point, it might be on, but we need sponsorships and stuff to be able to operate. We can't. We operated at a loss for 5 years, a severe loss, and that's like out of my pocket.
Well, so you guys, you're one of the few festivals you actually put the people up. You get them down there.
Yeah, we do everything we can to try to make it fun for everyone. Hotels, food, rides, stage time, booze.
The time I was there, we actually have a little clip of
the... Yeah, you made the sizzle reel.
Yeah, so did young Brendan Donegan.
Yeah, he did.
Let's roll the sizzle reel of the Red Clay Fest.
I still didn't see you, Mark.
I was in the van. you were probably chloroformed when you were in the van. I watching that video, I just got like chills of how much I miss doing live events.
Yeah.
I miss it. And it made me laugh too, because when they showed Janine Garofalo, her and I were probably the oldest people there in the festival. Everybody is so young. That when we were out back in the green room area where her show was, we were both smoking and just talking, and she was laughing. She goes, you're like the first person to talk to me. Everybody's so young. They're all in their phones and shit. It was like we were the only two people actually socializing at that time. But it was such a fun fest, man.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, we just want to have a fun time. So we need money to be able to do all the things, because we don't want to compromise on like not doing the things for the comics by having like a shittier festival. So we'll either not do it or do a pared down version. But if things pack up, and we're trying to get in touch with some sponsors right now to help fill in the gaps, and if they can do it, they can. And I understand why the sponsors can't. I mean, it's been a really weird time for beers and booze and stuff. So they're not selling any, they're not making money right now. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Off of Richie and I alone, they should be making huge profits.
Yeah, are you drinking?
I am. What are you drinking, Richie?
What are you drinking?
This is a vodka in my Heineken. I was just over in Amsterdam and I got a custom, I don't know if you can see it. It's a custom Heineken right from the Heine factory.
Nice. What are you drinking, Mark?
I'm actually doing vodka on the rocks tonight.
Hey, that's what I was doing. My rocks have gone away, though.
My old stateside vodka.
Yeah, vodka.
Stateside Urban Craft vodka. Brewed and federally distilled in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They are the only people that would deliver. All the liquor stores are closed here in Pennsylvania.
State stores. That's why.
Yeah, and I am rationing this shit like
Bring you some. I'm desperate to get out of this city. I got a car. I'll come drive you down a case,
you
whatever
come
you want.
Down? I'll make you a nice roast dinner.
I'm not coming inside.
Yeah, he's got to eat with a mask on.
Yeah, I'll leave it at your doorstep and drive off just to make
all
it.
All right,
seem
I'll
like
Venmo you. Venmo you some. You got a joke you'd like to tell us? We usually start with a drink, then we tell a nice joke.
I've been wanting to. I've had this idea for a joke. I don't even know if it's funny or what it is, because that's what's comedy anymore, right, boys? Oh God. I don't really tell jokes so much as I try to tell like stories and shit. But my dad is he's kind of a lunatic and he's losing his mind. He's retired. But he's also trying to just like figure out how to survive quarantine. Like he's losing it. And my dad's always had this like weird way of telling you things if you ask him a question, specifically if things go wrong. If something's bad, you have to dissect what he says. He always said he always delivers bad news in like a Southern Bayou-ism. You know, there's like, I called him the other day and with no warning, I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He goes, "Well, can't see in one eye and barely out the other. How you doing?" And first of all, he's from Philly, born and raised. So I don't know where the hell the accent comes from. And I go, "Hey, wait a minute, hold on. You did your ism. You said you're blind in one eye and can't see hardly out of the other." He goes, "Yeah, blood vessel popped, and I'm blind at the moment." I go, "That's how you're going to tell me? You're going to just go blind in one eye, blind in the other. Like, that's, you got to have more direct. How about
Big Sal's become the Riddler?
Yeah, shoot me an email or something. Like, have a convo. Don't give me, "Oh, grass, green is grass on the one and blue top hop." What the hell are you saying?
Your dad turned into Dr. Phil.
I don't know who he turned into. He ain't a doctor, I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, we got another guest we got to bring out. But before we say goodbye to you, Mike has an awesome family. He really does. Mike, tell him the story. We've known each other for how long, you think?
Ten years? Maybe? Yeah, 9 or 10
And years. It was just a couple years ago your sister realized that we weren't related.
Yeah. My younger sister thought that Mark was our cousin or something. I remember she was like, yeah, because I mean, we kind of look alike. Like, and Mark lived for a long time, like a mile from where my entire like epicenter of my family lives in Philly. So she just assumed that we were related and like, "Oh, there's two comics in our family." And she didn't, I don't know how it got brought up that you weren't related, but she's like, "Wait, Mark's not our cousin?" Like, she thought he was like a cousin that I found or something.
I love right. Steph. She's the best, man. Yeah,
she's a maniac.
You got to tell her I said, "Hey."
I will.
All right, Big Mike.
All right, Mike.
Cheers to you, Cousin Mike.
Cheers to you. Hopefully, happens, brother.
Cheers, fellas.
Ooh, baby.
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me. See you, boys. Oh.
All right.
Oh, we cut you. What? Oh, Mike. Hey, Richie. You know what the secret of comedy is?
Timing. All right, man. We're going to move right along. We did the festival thing. Now we're going to do the charity thing. This charity, very near and dear to my heart, man. I've been working for this woman for about 15 years. She's like a sister to me. I love her to death. She's the founder of The Great Comedy Cures, which we'll talk about when she gets out here. Let's get her out here. Give it up for Saren Rothberg, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
You need some estrogen, guys. You need some estrogen on this show. Aesthetic. Look at this.
My breasts are big enough. I don't need any.
Imagine what this show would smell like.
Yes.
Oh, I actually put on perfume before I came down to here, and I was like, "What the heck did I put on perfume for? You guys can't
smell." You're nuts. We used to do a radio show on Sunday morning, Saren and I, and you never saw anyone dress up this much for radio. For radio, Mark. Everything's got to be perfect. At her wedding, she went upstairs to like change into another outfit after she was gone for like 5 hours. It's Jesus the bride, and everyone's like, "Where's Sarah doing makeup?"
She got a costume change, man. The second half of the reception.
How are you?
Thank God I'm good. But did you see the Fauci report today?
No.
They explained why this is called COVID-19. You didn't see it before you went on the air?
No,
it's just they all paid 19 friggin' pounds. This is horrible. This is my 19 pounds, Richie. I'm so big.
Well, you know what? I knew this was gonna happen. And I prepared so much for this that I gained 15 pounds before it even started. So
I've been prepping for
you know
years.
The 19 stands for that's when it started, 2019. I'm not joking. That's
No, it's because we all gained 19 pounds. Right. Don't pull the joke.
I wish I only gained 19 pounds, Sarah.
No, we're
it's
all
like the freshman 15.
But yeah, Richie called me. He's like, "Will you do the show?" And I'm like, "I'll do it on audio."
She goes, "It's audio. It's audio, right?" I go, "No, it's visual." She's like, "Oh man!" I'm like, "Really? You're gonna be on with me and Rick and Donna?"
Yeah, you're gonna look like a stick.
You follow Mike, you're gonna be fine.
Like Richie, I gained 19 pounds. I'm not doing the show.
If you had three chins, you would still be the thinnest one on this show. Yes.
But wait. Did you guys catch the theme here? Like, did you see what's going on here? Look at my poster.
Right.
Where are all the guests from?
Philly.
Thank you.
Nice.
And I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that.
I love the Comedy Cures. So you started tell the story. You started Comedy Cures in 1999, pretty much from your chemo chair.
Yes. How many times have you heard me say that?
I know. Didn't Mark? You know how I didn't stutter at all on that? You know why?
You had it down.
Story so many times. By the way, it's weird to hear me cursing because I'm not allowed to curse on your show.
Oh no, it's so crazy. It's so weird. I want to like go no.
But she was diagnosed terminal cancer, right? 6 months.
God.
That's her little daughter right there.
That's a picture after my first year of treatment. And then they found out that none of the treatment worked. So I had three surgeries, 44 radiation treatments.
Oh my God.
2.5 years of chemotherapy, 7 different drugs, as many as 3 chemos a day. And that picture was right after year one. So I still had to keep going. And thank God, no visible disease today. Complete miracle. But the good part is,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said the good part is that my first chemo treatment, April 30th, 1999, I decided to throw a chemo comedy party. And that was for many reasons. One, it was so scary. I was a single mom going through divorce. And everybody had said how horrific chemotherapy was and the whole cancer journey. And I was like, you know, look, they say it's very aggressive. I have to take care of this little girl. And if it's going to be my journey, I'm just going to make it as fun and as uplifting as possible for both of us. And so I threw a chemo comedy party in New York City. And word got out that this, you know, 98-pound bald single mom was doing these comedy parties to get through cancer treatment, and requests just started to come in right and left. That night I went home from my first chemo treatment, was sick as a dog, but started Comedy Cures and ran it with a cell phone and a laptop, just me from the chemo chair, because I had, you know, so much treatment. And the word got out to the comedians, and they were just so generous of spirit, you know, from the very beginning. Every comedian said, you know, what can I do? Where do you need me? And that was it. So from then until now, we've done over 1 million people through our programs. We've done them on 4 continents. And Richie has done so many of them. Does Joey have some? Yeah, there you are. Look at you.
Look at raising the roof.
Loving you.
Go back to the original picture.
Why?
Is Joe Richie, are you raising the roof or bringing pizzas in?
That's me. On a roof.
You know what I looked for, Richie? I looked for the picture of you at the United Nations, because I got to produce the first comedy event in the history of the UN, and Richie was one of the performers.
I was the first performer.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Mark, yeah.
Richie was the first man to bomb in several languages.
I got up, Mark. I said to the artist, I go, is anyone here from out of town?
And like, he did.
Almost everybody. Yeah. Yeah. He did. 7 Americans laughed and everybody else raised their hand. It was the funniest thing.
You see the thing in front of me that says Uruguay? That's where I'm from.
It was so fun.
So your first chemo was April 30th, 1999.
Yes. But I was misdiagnosed 6 years before. So I presented in my 20s, and they were like, you know, completely dismissed the whole thing. They went to 11 doctors. They said I had a breast infection from breastfeeding, which made no sense because I didn't have any symptoms of that. But 6 years later, it was trying to catch up because at that point it had started to metastasize and it was a big game of miracle. Thank God. So my little girl that you saw in that picture was six at the time.
I was
going to
ask.
Yeah, she was six.
And now she's working on the TV show Prodigal Son, right?
Yeah, now she's a TV writer, producer in Hollywood. And she just sold two other shows. And I thank all the comedians that have been like uncles to her since she was six, because she lived around so much humor and just so much repartee. And she's kind of known for having this very quick, dark wit, whereas I'm the goofy witted one. She's more, you know.
Very more witted. Yes, I agree. Yes.
More money. She makes more money than I do because she has dark humor. And I have goofy humor.
Explain to the audience. You do laughing lunch, aside from all the other things Comedy Cures does. You do laughing lunches, and I've been honored to headline so many of them. And it's
here, can I tell a story that I love about you, Richie? Yeah.
If it makes me look good, you absolutely can tell.
I have so many, and I want to play a clip from our radio show because you look, you're just darling on the show. So Richie, of course, everyone knows is the warm-up comic for the Dr. Oz show, which is one of the many things he does. And so we film several blocks away from the Dr. Oz show.
Yes.
So we tell
Broadway Comedy Club.
Broadway Comedy Club. Thank you, Al Martin.
Al Martin.
And we time it so that he finishes show one, runs in, can get a sandwich, do his bit, and then go back to film show two. And we just know when Richie gets in the house, everybody has to stop.
Yeah, it's great, Mark. Suddenly I'm like the diva. It's like, Richie's here.
Richie's here. Everybody clear the stage.
Stop everything. Richie's here.
And I guarantee Richie plays into that.
And the laughing lunches, though, Mark, they bus in terminally ill people and their caretakers.
Oh, my God. That's
they
so
give them lunch and they give them a show. I mean, it's an amazing.
And lots of prizes and
lots
presents.
Of prizes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amazing. I got a joke that your daughter will like, but, Saren, you might not.
Okay.
You
I'll
have
let
Richie.
Anyway.
You have Richie perform for these people. Aren't they going through enough?
So Richie, well, I'll tell you, it never ceases to not happen that Richie will be on stage and somebody will start laughing so hard that their breathing will get screwed up.
Yeah,
and
no.
They're crying, laughing, and Richie always gets concerned and stops the show to check in on them. And that makes them laugh harder. And they're trying to wave to him not to talk to them. They're trying to catch their breath.
Yeah.
And he wants to make sure they're okay.
One day I got a standing ovation, and Saren goes, "You got a standing ovation from people who need oxygen." You know how
these people can barely stand, and they gave you a standing ovation, Richie. You bastard.
Well, the cool thing about our audiences are that, you know, they are so diverse. We serve all populations. We serve homeless. We serve people living with chronic and acute illness, depression. We've served domestic violence victims and bombing victims from all over the world. Just kids and orphanages. It's really been an incredible ride. And I know you wanted me to talk about how this whole pandemic is impacting charities.
Right.
And so I didn't want to just speak from my charity. I wanted to represent many charities in the conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're slammed, of course. 96.5, I did a bunch of research on the statistics, and 96.5% of the charities surveyed of the sample that was done recently said that they have been completely negatively impacted. Wow. And that ranges everywhere from almost 75% in loss of funding. I mean, it's incredible. And we see all these fundraisers, but they're really targeted towards like Feeding America and PPE, getting, you know, masks and things and food.
These people probably need it more now than ever. And it's the hardest time for you guys to raise the funds. This is horrible.
We felt like it was almost in bad taste to be asking while, you know, there are people starving and there are also, you know, nurses and doctors and you know, these frontline workers without the proper coverage.
You know what? You should get Joel. He's not ashamed to try and sell his t-shirt.
Would this be another shameless promotion?
I can go for it. We have many ways that you can donate to Comedy Kids.
There you go.
You can just put 443-21 into your, you don't have to, 443-21 into your text where you put a number and give a laugh and, you know, or go to www.comedycures.org and just click on the donate button. And let me explain to you, because people are probably saying, okay, well, Richie, you guys can't go do Laughing Lunch right now, right? It's a live event. We can't have that, you know? So we pivoted and
Richie loves doing Zoom shows if you want to.
We've actually not done it and we've gotten so many requests to do it because I felt like what you guys were saying earlier is that everybody and their brother is putting up a show and then all the celebrities are putting up the shows. And we like to be there when nobody's around, like when all this quiets, you know, we'll come in and do some incredible programming. But we were pivoting at the time of all of this, which was so interesting because the demand for our live shows worldwide is so beyond what I could fundraise for without really growing, you know, growing the organization in a huge way. And so we looked at the cost of going virtual in all different aspects. Now, when I started the charity 20 years ago, our laugh line, and I'll do a shameless promotion for that, is
shameless promotion.
Well, it's free, so I'm not sure if it's shameless, but it's 1-888-HA-HA-HA-HA. So that's four ha's. And if you press one, you hear a professional comedian like you guys or Amy Schumer, Zach Galifianakis, Brian Regan. So many people have.
You said like us, and then you named a bunch of A-listers.
But do you like? See, I make people feel happy. That's my.
You're amazing, by
Thank
the way.
You.
No, this is really interesting. You were supposed to be speaking at the Vatican.
I was invited a couple years ago. That was the most surreal experience. I was invited to go to a very private healthcare think tank at the Vatican, which was supposed to happen in this time of the pandemic. And many things were going on there. Again, it was thought leaders from around the world in healthcare. And I was not only the way it was set up, was, you know, there were a bunch of presentations. The Pope, we had a private audience with the Pope also scheduled. And then I was scheduled to be doing some of the interviews and the backstage stuff for, you know, more the man on the street, like the woman at the Vatican type thing, because so many incredible thought leaders were going to be there. And I really wanted this voice to be heard way beyond just the few, you know, people that got invited to this think tank. It's supposed to be incredible. And I was just so honored to be asked to go. My question was, when they asked me, I was like, do you guys know I'm Jewish?
We'll let you in anyway.
I just want to make sure you knew. And then I used to live in Italy and I went to school there and I worked there. So I was going to brush up on my Italian and do a little bit of my presentation in English and Italian just because.
Because you're an overachiever.
See the set?
Yes.
We got it. You're shaming us.
No, I'll help you.
Are they going to do it another time or they don't know?
Yeah, it got postponed a year. So God willing, this will all be, you know, more under control.
I mean, Italy got crushed. So
I know, I know, I know. I kept checking in all the time to see. I really wanted to go, of course. But just back, because I think it's so important that you wanted to talk about this, just back to the charity thing. I mean, you have to realize for people like us that do programs worldwide, you know, it's we can't travel, right? So our wings are clipped.
You're jumping my question here, I think, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and then you think about, you know, we have no money coming in. So the charities that aren't, you know, in that front line of, you know, feeding people and literally providing safety equipment, we are frontline, as Mark said, in a very different way. And I can explain to you, when this pandemic happened, Comedy Cures, our organization, immediately went forward because we realized that children who were hospitalized were not going to be able to have visitors. And we realized that that the child life specialists weren't going to probably be considered critical personnel, right? Or they would be shifted from the kids over to more dramatic cases. And so immediately in March, and I'm so proud of Patty for doing this. Patty runs Comedy Cures programming.
The great Patty.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully she got home in time to watch. She and I worked really hard and we collected over 1,000 new games and toys. And then we reached out to Project Sunshine. This is all about collaboration now, right? So this is the delivery that I made in my van personally of a large collection of the toys to Harlem Hospital. And those nurses from the pediatric ward who came out, and we had masks and social distancing and gloves, and I delivered them there. And then I went to Brooklyn, to Brookdale Family Center, and they actually sent us a picture tonight of a child getting examined who had one of our Comedy Cures bags with all the toys and gifts in it. Uh-oh. So that was cool. And we're getting ready for another drop, another 1,000 that we're going to give. So we're not stopping. You know, we just, as I said, we had to pivot. The Laugh Line is going 24 hours a day. We're raising money because we need to produce even more comedy. It's pounded morning, noon, and night from all over the world, Canada, Mexico. And now with WhatsApp, you know, we got the foreign calls too. But that's one, you hear a professional comedian. Two, you just hear an amateur joke teller. And three, you can tell us a joke. So anyone around the world of any age can call 1-888-HA-HA-HA-HA. They can press 3 and 24 hours a day, they can tell us a joke. And then we put it back on 2 so the world can hear your joke. And it's so fun to hear those come in.
That's awesome. You have to be able to sleep so well at night knowing you're doing such good to the world.
Thank you. I actually don't sleep. Like everyone knows I'm a 2-hour person.
Mark, I have to tell you, the first person I thought of when this happened was her. I'm like, what? She must be making everybody crazy. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. She never stops. And I wanted to say about Patty, the other thing about Patty that is very impressive is she cut your hair yesterday.
Right? Oh my gosh. Do you see this? Because I looked like, my husband said, it's kind of like a Cousin It look you have going right now.
Oh, that's great.
I am too vain to go on Richie's show with hair at 7 inches. She took off 7 inches.
There's no job that you, but Mark, when I did a show, a Richie Burns show, I raised money for Comedy Cures. And
thank you.
And my point is that it's never been run better because I knew I could just call Patty and go, something's wrong with you. I'll take care of it. Something else is wrong. I got it.
So you're saying Patty's the wolf.
She's a goddess.
You calling in the wolf? Oh, shit. I didn't know you were calling the wolf.
I just show up with a nice haircut and some, you know.
And right now, she's sitting home watching this going, shut up.
Nice jacket. Yeah, she wouldn't be filmed. Remember, she wouldn't be photographed for you. She has all the brains. We're like an old married couple.
We are.
We're like an old married couple.
You are the best.
Those are the greatest people on the planet. They just want to do all the work and get none of the accolades.
Yeah, yeah. And you're what you've done is amazing. And you know that.
We want to keep doing it, Richie. So
you will. It'll come back.
To wait and, you know, just be tasteful. And, you know, our fundraiser got canceled. But we want to create our own channel with the clean comedy, of course, that, you know, patients can check into. And we have a lot of cool things up our sleeve for the nurses and the doctors and the frontline people, because that's who we support anyway. Our charity supports not only the patients, but the medical caregivers and the family and friends.
That's great. So
we're working on some really special projects, including one that I can't really talk about, but I can just tell you that it's something super cool with iHeartRadio and some other partners. And I'm so honored to be part of that. But again, because of social distancing, some of the things that we have that were scheduled to go forward, we've had to just delay. But, you know, I hope we get a guardian angel or several who are listening to this podcast and will make a donation so that we can literally do the pivot that we wanted to do and virtual and reach patients and their caregivers 24/7 with comedy that is appropriate and non-offensive and very funny. I mean, that's why
we haven't asked you to do it, Mark.
I know. If you ever need a bottomless comedian, just
well, look, I mean, you know, Patrice O'Neill, rest his soul, you know, like he even said to me, you know, Saren, I will create a set for you to come do at Laughing Lunch. That's because so it would make awesome. My mama proud. And Greg Giraldo also. I mean, there were so many comics that, well, you know,
did the right thing.
One day,
it's not their brand, you know.
I did a show for you and a guy, it was really one of the most amazing moments of my career. A man came up to me and he said, "That's the first time I've laughed since I found out I was going to die."
Yeah.
And that caught me just so off. Yeah. It's like, wow. And you realize how important it is for these people.
Yeah. And I think now with all the comedians that, you know, are struggling, like this is so important that you guys have an outlet for your humor, you know, and that's why Comedy Cures is so important, because we are able to go into super sensitive situations like hospice, you know, like intensive care. We've done all of these, it's weird to say venues, right? Like we've actually done intensive care shows, you know, and we just want to really do what we do. And it's just super important that whoever can, you know, I know you're supporting so many other organizations that are important, but if you could go to comedycures.org and make a donation, or go to 44321 and type in, excuse me, give a laugh.
G-I-V-E.
Oh, you got it? Give a laugh.
Yep.
That will help us continue to keep going. I mean, most charities, the small charities like us, have 1 month to maximum 6 months operating expense. And we run our charity at 90% of every dollar goes to programs. That's unheard of. 90% of every dollar, right?
Yeah.
So the bigger the charities get, so much less happens. I mean, you have major charities where it's 54%. You know, the tolerable level is about 75%. But the little charities like ours, you know, have between 1 month and 6 months operating. So if we don't get some patrons and angels, it's going to be hard to do the plan that we were trying to do, which was, you know, pivot this to digital, still keep our live shows, of course, but be able to meet the ask of what the world wants of us, which is to be going 24 hours around the world. And we're working on that now, Richie, with the archival footage that we have from all the Laughing Lunches.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on putting some of that together, but I have to pay editors, you know, people have to get paid, and it's, you know, it's a struggle right now for charities. So I know everybody's under so much pressure, so I don't want to put any more pressure on people, but we do really good work and I would love to keep bringing this joy. It's 21 years. Wow. Can you imagine 21 years? I beat stage 4 cancer and I've been able to bring laughter for 21 years.
It's old enough to drink.
Speaking of
my daughter, not old enough to drink and then some. You know what I mean? But Richie, I from the minute I called you, and you always have a joke about when I called you to ask you to do the charity. You've been like a brother. We've had this incredible friendship, you know, drop and roll friendship. Yes. And you and Rick Younger have done so many shows for Comedy Cures everywhere. And I can't leave out Kareth and Dina Blizzard, because you guys were the core, the original, you know, core. And then of course we've gotten so many blessings from, you know, hundreds.
You came up to me after the first show and you just stared at me and you said, "We're meant to be friends. We're meant to be something. I don't know what, but we're meant to be together for a long time." And I said, I couldn't agree more. And that's what we've been for how many
years? Can we talk about your commitment to the radio show?
Yeah.
This man, no matter where he had a show,
Sunday morning. Sunday morning, she has a radio show. Sunday
live.
The worst day for a comic, right?
Yeah.
So how many episodes did Richie show up still drunk or hungover?
No. No matter where I was in America, I would get back in time. I never missed an episode.
He even got there before me, and I lived 12 minutes away.
Yeah. One day, she was always late, and one day, I remember Patty staring at me. And I'm in the booth. Patty goes with Fran.
Fran Capo.
Fran Capo.
And Rick.
And Patty turns to me and she goes, "Yeah, you're pretty much going to have to open this one." There was no sign of Saren. No one knew where Saren was. No one. Just as the music started, Ingrid Saren jumped into the microphone, put on her headsets, took off her shoes. She always didn't take off her shoes. It's just like, "Hi, welcome to Comedy Cures Radio."
I hate having shoes on when I'm doing shows. But the thing that was so funny is I had on boots, these big, you know, tall boots.
Right.
I had to get the boots off as the intro music was going. And I stood up when I did the show. I like to stand up when I do live radio. And so I hit the ground with the boot on the floor. Do you remember that, Richie?
Yes, I took the boot off. I
literally was on the ground under the table, the video table. We laughed so hard. We laughed so hard. It's so funny. But that's the great thing about live comedy is, you know, can we play a clip of you? Can Joey put the clip on?
I don't know if Joey has one ready. Joey?
I put two. I gave him two. Put the shorter one on.
Well, for anyone out there who is not a Super Bowl fan, this is the show to listen to. Why?
Why, Saren?
Why is this?
Because we know nothing.
No. No, and if you are totally burnt out by the Super Bowl chatter, this is the show to listen to.
Because we're not going to talk about it.
Absolutely wrong. Because we have a comic perspective on this entire day. And it makes it fun. It makes fun for the people who hate it. It makes it fun for the people who are sick about it. And it makes it fun for the people who love it. Because Comedy Cures Laugh Talk Radio always takes a topic every week. And we turn it on its head. And we find the humor in it.
That's right.
And we find the joy in it. And we find the motivation in it. And the education in it. And we're just hot.
Yes, we do. And we only have me here today.
I know.
And I think that's the best way to do the show.
Bridget, you cut it off, because then you say, "If I could just get rid of Saren."
Can I tell you that you made me produce that show? She came to me and said, "You're going to produce the Super Bowl show." And I'm like, "I don't know how to produce." And you're like, "You're going to do it. You've been watching me. You know how to do this." And I had and I brought on guests and I learned so much from that I now utilize on this show, Saren, and I have you to thank for that.
Well, I think what's so important was I'm really big about listening to people's dreams. You know, I think you're putting someone's life not for an accident, that every reason why someone comes in front of you is meaningful, and you might not see it at that moment, and you might not understand. It's like I was in a chemo chair, right? That seems tragic for a single mom and the terrible diagnosis. But if I hadn't been in that chair and in that cancer journey, I wouldn't have seen the need, right, to bring therapeutic entertainment into the trenches of treatment and to help people who were struggling, right? So I really think this is why. So I said to Richie one day, Richie, you know, you do so much for our charity and you do so much to bring so much joy to so many people. What's your dream? Let me help you live your dream. Do you remember what you said, Richie?
I said, I want to do radio.
And very specific. And I want to do
sports radio.
I want to do sports radio. So what, like literally a week later, I get
radio with you.
Phone calls. Saren, we want you live on radio in New York. We want you to have a live radio show. And I said, okay, I need to bring someone on with me. And they were like, no, just you. We want a call-in show. It's just you talking to patients. And I said, absolutely not. I need to have a sports segment. And I need to have this comedian on because I know it was Richie's dream, right? So I called him and I said, Richie, be careful what you ask for because you're now going to be the live sports commentator on my Sunday show on this comedy live talk show. And then he was so devoted and came every single
You couldn't get rid of me.
Exactly. That I was like, you know what, Richie, you're just going to be a co-host.
Yeah, just sit in that chair and talk. And we did for a whole summer. We had a great time. And I love you so much.
I do.
And
I
anybody, please, anything you can donate to any charity is a good thing right now. I know time's the top, but Comedy Cures, whoever you want to, whoever you got, you know, Joel's t-shirts, whoever you want to donate to.
Yeah, it's really important. And if you do know someone who's living with illness, depression, trauma, disability, who's having a really hard time in quarantine, have them call the Laugh Line. It changes every day. And it's so fun. It's just like a burst of sunshine. You know, it's enough to really like pick up your spirits. And if you want to leave us a joke, please, we love it. And then we give it forward. It's 1-888-HA-HA-HA-HA-HA. And if you look at the numbers, it's 888-424-2424. If you dial 800, you get a bank, but the bank loves when our people call and tell them a joke. But it is 888. And I just feel blessed to be here, blessed to be able to do your show. I got a free haircut out of it by Patty. And you know, you have all those naked photos, so I had to do it, right?
Well, Richie got his dream come true because it's basically like doing sports radio here because he's running circles around me.
I've heard a lot about you, Mark, and I'm just so honored.
I can't believe you still came on.
Yeah, I know. Well, I thought it was going to be Joel, and then when it wasn't Joel, I was like, oh, thank God, it's Mark. I had to. I love you, Joel.
We're going out.
Yeah, we love you guys. That's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. Stay on.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.